Next Sunday, Dublin and Kerry will battle it out for supremacy in the All-Ireland football final, with Dublin going for 5 in a row. Critics have claimed Dublin is at an unfair advantage because of the amount of financial resources it's capable of attracting. Earlier, I was joined in studio by Ciarán Cunningham, chief sports writer with the Star newspaper, and Mick O'Keefe, former Dublin footballer and CEO of 10AO, which supports the Tipperary Hurlers and is itself involved in negotiating sponsorship deals. I began by asking Ciarán Cunningham just how important money is for success in the GAA.
Well, it's important in every sport, and even though the GAA is ostensibly are amateur sports, it's right up there as well. Like, it's very interesting if you ever look at, people sometimes do this, if you look at the Premier League in soccer and do the wage table, it's normally virtually identical to the way the table finishes at the end of the season, that the more you spend on wages, it tends to correlate with how you finish in the league. But this has become a kind of a hot topic over the last week because of Tipperary's success. And like, Mick would have a connection with 10AO, so Mick is better equipped to talk about this than me. But a committee was set up at the start of the year that Niall Quinn and Alan Quinlan were chairing, and they brought in a lot of very prominent business people as a fundraising thing, and they raised a lot of money. And it does cost a huge amount of money now, because the amount of money spent in training camps and on backroom teams is massive. And this follows on from JP McManus, who's been financing Limerick for quite a while, and Limerick obviously won last year. They put an academy in place that's brought all these players through. Like, even a couple of weeks ago, it was announced that JP McManus is going to finance a holiday for them this year in his resort in Sandy Lane in Barbados for 10 days for the panel and their partners. Now, if you give that bill to a county board, that would be a substantial bill. For a sponsor to foot that is a huge benefit. Like, Dublin are getting ready for their 5-in-a-row bid next week. Dublin have been on a training camp in Clare, and they regularly go to Carton House. And these training camps now that a lot of counties do, they're going to 4- or 5-star resorts. They're very expensive. And there's, between backroom and players, you might have 50 or 60 people there. So that the cost is massive.
It's a big cost. Now, Mick O'Keefe, you were on the Dublin senior panel, 20 years ago when Dublin weren't winning All-Ireland all the time. It would have been a very different story then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and look, I think all the advantages that Dublin have now, they had then, in terms of population and the number of clubs and the number of players and the biggest sponsorship deal in the country, which people forget at the time with Ireland's. I think it's important to say that money doesn't win All-Ireland's, but you can't win an All-Ireland without money, right? And I think, you know, we were talking earlier, you could give some counties 10 million and they wouldn't win an All-Ireland. Like, there isn't a transfer market. You can't go out and buy people. I think we can sometimes overemphasise the impact that resources have. If you look at the Limerick example or the Dublin example, where they put a huge amount of effort and emphasis on underage, there's also a correlation, I think, between university counties and non-university counties and access to sports science facilities, club structures, well-organised county boards. And then you look at the costs associated with inter-county teams. And I do think there is an issue that some of these costs are spiralling out of control. And there's a number of reasons why they are, in terms of the size of the backroom teams, the emphasis put in strength and conditioning. You could have 10, 15, even 20 people in a backroom team nowadays with some counties. And the costs associated with winning in All-Ireland, like, the people have put all sorts of numbers on it. I think Mayo spent something in the region of €1 million 1 year and didn't win in All-Ireland, which just goes to show you the amount of money that's required. In excess of about €500,000 by the time you add in training camps and all the other backroom stuff that you need. And then I think the emphasis should be around, why are these costs been, you know, taken by counties? And then you have to fund it. And then the funding comes from a number of sources. So the county board will give a certain amount of money, but they've multiple other things to be looking after, as you can expect. Sponsors obviously contribute. And then there's a bit of patronage. I would argue there's people who come in and just pump up a few quid because they want to. And then we've seen this advent, and particularly in Tyrone and other counties, Roscommon have been very good at it, of the supporters clubs who become very sophisticated. And I think things like commercial boards and those kind of things are just another extension of that. So the money comes from multiple sources. And I think in the region of about 30 million, I would say, is spent on inter-county teams every year, which I think is a number that, you know, I think we need to have a look at as an association.
Yeah. Ciarán, Mick mentioned the proliferation of backroom teams. I was reading Mick O'Dwyer interview in the Indo yesterday. He said in his day he had a physio, they had a masseur, they had a doctor, and he occasionally saw the selectors, but very rarely. So it really has changed. It's become a professional operation.
Yeah, because I'm from Donegal myself, so it would be pretty au fait with the way they operate. And I think they've got four stats people alone, you know, and the previous management didn't have anybody on stats. So it shows, you know, that then you're factoring in they have a defence coach, they have a forwards coach, they have a goalkeeping coach, the strength and conditioning coaches, the physios, doctors, selectors, assistant managers, etc. So it does really add up. Then you go into nutritionists, etc. But it's interesting as well, Micheál Donoghue stepped down as Galway manager during the week. And the Tuam Herald have reported that the Galway management, this is what they're saying, felt the county board were unwilling to support the professional standards set by management due to financial constraints. So they're effectively reporting, saying he didn't feel he had the money needed to be competitive.
And yet Galway have a very good sponsorship deal with Supermax, which is worth millions.
But they've had issues with it. Finally, a lot came out before their county convention last year. There's been financial issues there. I know of a couple of other counties that are going to, there are issues coming with catering bills, for example, for players and backroom teams. And that's because it is an arms race now. They're trying to keep up with the Dublins and the Kilkennys and the Tipperarys and the Kerrys. And it's very, very difficult for a lot of counties to do that. Like Kerry have a training complex that costs roughly $6 million. And they got a lot of ex-players together, the likes of Owen Liston, etc. They're dripping with All-Ireland medals. Sent them out to New York, Chicago and Boston. And that trip they raised over $1 million. They sent all their ex-players to London and they got a six-figure sum as well. So they actually reached that $6 million fairly quickly. But not every county is able to do something like that.
Yeah, and make for the smaller counties, for the less well-off counties, for the less successful counties, they're kind of locked in a spiral. If they can't, if they don't have the success that attracts sponsorship, they're not going to be able to put the money in that will lead to success.
Yeah, and it's the sponsorship is one element, and I think, you know, one of the issues that happens sometimes is a short-term ism of managers. And you look at, say, you mentioned Mick O'Dwyer, you know, he got a lot of backing when he went into Wicklow and other places where people rallied around. And I think there's an issue there because the money is spent on the team and then perhaps other things are neglected because there's only so much to go around, like underage structures, you know, pitches, floodlights, you know, centres of excellence, stuff that you need to sustain you well into the future. I think we have an issue in that we are getting a kind of a tiered society in the GEA. And I think this is, you know, one of the other factors around looking at the championship structure. If you look at some of the counties who struggle to attract 30 or 40,000 euros worth of sponsorship, like how can they compete in the absence of multiple other patrons with other counties if some people are spending 30 or 40,000 euros on a training camp? So we have this kind of cycle of kind of, you know, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, and it's happening in the Premier League. And I think that is something that needs to be addressed. I do think that when it comes to sponsorship, if you look back 20 years ago, most of the sponsors tended to be local businessmen done good, put money back in. You had a lot of construction, you know, guys, hoteliers, meat barons. And, you know, you look at the jerseys in 2005, I guarantee you 75% of them, I've actually done it. That's how interesting my life is. But and they're coming from that kind of demographic. Obviously, the crash came and so forth, and counties had to kind of reassess, okay, well, where's the money going to come from? You look at some of the counties now, a lot of it still is local businessman reinvesting in his own county. And I think there's something noble in that. But I do think that counties and the GA need to look at two things. One is GA counties looking at, well, what are we selling here? Like, are we selling a logo on a jersey? Are we selling something that's around community engagement or a multinational in the area going to invest in, you know, grassroots? There's diversity because you've male and female, you've got health, you battle against obesity. And there's a different conversation, I think, to be had if you're in Wicklow around putting 100,000 kids through your hands rather than, do you want to be on the front of the jersey? I think they're two different conversations. And I do think we're moving towards a situation where the GEA are going to have to look at more centralisation of sponsorship. And now they've done this with the multi-sponsor deal and they do reinvest 80% plus of the money back into grassroots, and I think that's noble and I think it's an incredible organisation. But I do think that they need to consider strongly taking that pressure off the counties who are under-resourced a lot of the time. Some don't have the skill set to have commercial strategies and so on. And what it leads to is situations where some counties are super organised and then some counties are getting left behind.
Well, would that work, Mick, though? Because that is an American model that they often pool the sponsorship and then they spread it out fairly equally. But if AIG, clearly Dublin are really attracted to AIG and the AIG go after blue chip clients, they go after the All Blacks, they go after Manchester United and they go after Dublin. So would they have any interest in having their logo on a Carlow or Leitrim or Wexford or whatever jersey?
No, it's a really good question. And I think you may end up with a hybrid situation where you give counties a certain amount of leeway to do their own thing. But I think there are certain things you can do, like, you know, the water supplier could be centralised, you know, transport can be centralised, kit supplier can be centralised. And what you do there is you end up in a much fairer situation where everyone talks about Leitrim or Wicklow or whatever. They get a far bigger chunk. And look, I'm from Dublin, and I would think that there needs to be a fair distribution of the revenue.
Okay, we have run out of time, but before we go, who's going to win next Sunday? Kieran?
I think Dublin will win with a bit to spare.
Okay, Mick?
I think Dublin will win, but I wouldn't be as certain as some people are saying. I think it's going to be a really good game. I think both teams are going to go at it. I think it's going to be a great game. I would back Dublin marginally.
And that was Mick O'Keefe, former Dublin footballer, now CEO of Tenio, and Kieran Cunningham from The Star in studio earlier on. And best of luck today to the women of Mayo, Galway, Cork and Dublin, who take part in the ladies' senior football semi-finals in Croke Park. Coverage of those games will be on after this programme from our colleagues in the sports department.